Well, good evening. I know I am not a familiar face up here, but I'm glad to be here. My name is John Gray. I'm 18 years old. I'm a senior at Houston Christian High School and an acolyte master here at St. Martin's. Like many of my fellow seniors, I am currently in the process of applying to college. I'm an applicant to the United States Military Academy at West Point, and I've been accepted to the School of Engineering at Texas A&M, University of Tennessee, and Purdue University, pursuing nuclear engineering. Actually, I'm not like most acolytes. This will be my 10th year as an acolyte, as I started serving in the third grade as an 8-year-old. Now, I can say I served with my older brother and sister, and that was the only reason I was allowed to come, because you see, 10 years ago, we had this thing called the 8 a.m. service, and no acolytes ever came to the 8 a.m. service. So the Gray family trio was always here to save the day. And so that's the only reason that this tiny little 8-year-old was allowed to walk down the aisle with a torch. Now, I spent most of my early years, like I said, serving as a torch alongside my sister Margaret, who is currently a sophomore at the University of Michigan, and my brother David, who got to be First Cross, who is currently serving in the United States Marine Corps. Now, you see, there's an unwritten rule for acolytes that the tallest acolyte always gets preference to the First Cross. And at the time, David beat both Margaret and I in the height department, so he always got to be First Cross, and I was always jealous of him. But nevertheless, I did eventually outgrow him a few years ago, just before he left for boot camp, and I got to claim the title of First Cross with David and Margaret as my torches for the first and last time. So you see, I've being here 10 years, it's quite a long time. It makes me feel really old saying that. But I've served as a torch, a cross, a flag, a banner, and even a candle holder. That's a pretty fun job. And so, you know, I'd like to say I've done everything that the regular acolyte can do, and I'm proud of that. And so, you see, the next step for me was to do more versatile things and more fancy things. And so about a year ago, I won Miss Piana's, who is in charge of all the acolytes and the robing and making sure everything's all right. I won her approval to be the pre-service candle lighter, which I have no idea why, but is always one thing I've loved doing. This year, I became an acolyte master with about 10 others. And I was trained how to be a chalice bearer, and that's the person who gives you wine during communion. And that's always a humbling experience. And about a month ago, I got to be the lay reader for a service. That was interesting. And so, as you can see, there was only one thing left for me to do, and that was to get up in this pulpit, just say one word, and I've officially done everything. And it only took me 10 years, so here I am. Like most kids, I came to church when I was young, only because my mother forced me to, and I knew the type A woman she was, saying no, I'd rather sleep, was a doomed battle not worth fighting. So over the years, I just kind of developed this habit, knowing Saturday night I was going to attend church, Sunday morning, bright and early at 8 a.m. Now you see, St. Martin's in itself did not directly open my eyes to God, but rather indirectly, and I'll show you why. Coming to church was always kind of a relaxation period for me. Coming so early in the morning, you know, I was already so tired anyway, and my mental stamina as a 10-year-old was so small, I could only keep up with about 5 minutes of the service. So I can honestly say I don't remember a single sermon before high school. And when I tell people that, some people say, wow, that must have been a huge waste of time, you know. Half your 5 years, you know, you didn't get anything out of it. But actually, the opposite is true, and for an interesting reason. You see, whenever David and Margaret and I sat down back here, I had to keep my mind occupied because I knew mother sitting over there, I was not going to fall asleep in front of her. And so I just leaned back and just kind of thought, and back here became my thinking place. You know, I thought about what I really wanted for dinner tonight, and, you know, could I embarrass David in any way after church? And eventually, you know, I had to start thinking of harder things because dinner got too easy. You know, I wanted to go to Benihana's, and embarrassing David, well, I can't tell y'all because my mom's recording this and she's going to send it to him. So, brotherly love, I haven't used those tricks on him yet. So, I was thinking of these easy things, and I got to the point where I was like, well, let's do easy. Let's talk about something more interesting, harder. And so, you know, I thought about this little 10-year-old thinking about, you know, what might God look like? Is he this huge buff like Superman or something? And then I was thinking, like, what is heaven like, this thing that we're always searching for? And, you know, are there rivers of flowing Dr. Pepper in heaven? Because that'd be pretty heavenly. And and eventually I got to this one question that I didn't answer for about, I don't know, 6 years. But it put me on a quest for truth. And it was how do I know that, you know, I'm made in God's image and God made me and God made this world and God made everything? And, you know, you hear that a lot, but they don't say anything after. They just kind of say it. And I was questioning, you know, am I made by God? How would I know that? And so my questions about ultimate reality remained unanswered until God really dove into my life and changed my life for Christ a couple years ago. So like I said, I go to Houston Christian High School, and we have this system at Houston Christian. It's a mentoring system, and it's called discipleship groups, or we just call it D groups for short. And so basically how it works is there's two leaders. So that's your upperclassman, which is a junior or senior, an 11th or 12th grader. And then you have about 5 to 8 underclassmen who are members, and that's your 9th and 10th graders. And because I just joined D groups because a lot of my friends did it, I had one leader in D groups that just changed my life forever, and I was not expecting to really get anything out of this mentoring system besides being with my friends. You see, at the time, I was nothing more than a Christian in name. I wanted to know God, but with so much anti-godly principles in our lives today, it didn't really seem like God was anywhere to be found. You know, but before I go there, I just want to just lay something on the table that I've noticed lately, and it's that we are materialistic people. We believe in, you know, what we can see and what our five senses, you know, tell us is there, and which makes sense, because my whole life I was thinking, all right, there's no flying spaghetti monster right here. I can't see him. He must not exist. And I was trying to find God with my senses instead of use my faith. So I'll get back to that. So anyway, this D group leader, this discipleship group mentor I'm talking about, every time we met every Monday during the school year, and he always emphasized three things. Number one, read your Bible every day, at least one chapter. Not just that little verse that your phone pops up every night, but just one chapter a day. Number two, pray every day and just talk to God about your life, about what you aspire to do. Just have communion with the Lord. And number three, and this was probably the most important for me, and it was to always acknowledge that God is working in your life even when he seems absent. Spencer, my mentor, he used to always say, he quoted this from John Piper, who said, God is doing 1,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of about 3 of them. And this minor detail in the grand scheme of my life set off a chain of events in my spiritual life. Now, unfortunately, I did have to limit my speech, and so I cannot go into great detail on everything I discovered about the Lord. But I do have enough time to explain one remarkable transformation and turning point in my life that I did have. As I began my journey with Christ, I stumbled upon to the probably most remarkable conclusion I've ever found. And it was so simple, but it was so great. And here it is. It's the logic that one cannot have a design without a designer, just like one can't have a painting without a painter. And one cannot have a church without a church builder, or builders, architect, whatever. But it's the system that for something to be there, something had to make it. And so that always stuck with me, because I always marveled about how amazing our bodies are, the fact that we can, if we get a cut, our body heals us, that we can think and do these advanced calculations in our brains. And it was just amazing that the marvel of engineering that we're composed of just struck a chord in me, to where some people would say, that little bacteria over there in the corner, yeah, you came from that. And I never believed it, because then they just throw in over millions of years. And that was never compelling to me. And then besides looking at me, then I looked at this earth and where we live and how all the cycles and everything seems to work together for us. And despite our farthest, most powerful reaching telescopes, can't find one planet that is even remotely capable of doing anything that Earth can do. You see, one night I sat thinking in my bed and I just couldn't help but realize everything appeared to be set up and designed for us. And then I remembered that one simple logic: one cannot have design without a designer. That discovery was one of the most profound moments in my life. To think that I'm made by God, and you're made by God, and you're made by God. And God made us all, and God made this earth, and God made it for us. And I just can't stand up here and not think that I wouldn't want to follow that God and believe in that God and go spend eternity with that God. So I stand here to tell you that St. Martin's was a key part of my journey to accept Christ as my Savior and developing what I would like to say complete faith in Him. I hope my story has impacted someone here or can help you impact someone else. And I want to conclude with one final thought. If you seek the truth about God, then surely the truth will find you. Thank you.